As I thought through what I'd like to share with you tonight, and I was thinking through a topic, I really thought I'd like something practical, something that would really help you. And so my intent is to talk about prayer tonight, and my prayer is that God would really cause it to be motivating in your life, and that I would be able to help you personally in your life every day as you go to God in prayer. And speaking of prayer, let's go to a minute right now. God, I really pray that tonight students would really get a word from you, and that you would really be glorified. I know, God, that if you do not work, if you do not open hearts, cause people to be sensitive, that nothing will be done tonight and nothing will change in people's life. So I pray, God, that you would do that. And I pray, God, that you would just give me a freedom as I speak, and that there would be, I just really rebuke the enemy right now. And Satan, you just have no place here. And we just command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave. God, I really thank you for this time. And may your name be exalted and praised. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be looking at a little bit at Psalms 100 tonight. If you open your Bibles there, it'd be good. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the importance of prayer just to start out. Then I'd like to show you a system of prayer that you can use when you pray. We'll look at prayer as how you can incorporate that into your daily life. And then maybe a once a week time to pray and how you might set up a plan to do that, and give you some tips. Then I'd like to close with just some ideas about creative prayer. Praying different sorts of ways, using different ideas and different formats in order to really maximize your prayer time. And in talking about prayer, you know, defining prayer, well, what would you all say prayer is? Who has an idea? Let's just hear some definitions of what you think prayer is. This is going to be tonight I'm going to get some feedback from you all. I'll be asking you to come up with some verses like on praise and thanksgiving, confession, and interceding for others, praying for lost people and that sort of thing. So you help me out tonight and we'll work together on that, and then that sort of thing. What would you say? What is prayer? Okay, talking to God. Good. All right. Someone else? Okay. An intimate conversation between two people who love each other. That's heavy. That's good. That's really good. That's excellent. That's exactly what it should be. It's kind of rebuking in a way too, isn't it? When you think about it, you think about your prayer life and you think, man, this is two people who love each other, an intimate conversation. And that's good. One thing about conversation is there's two parts. There's you talk in a conversation and you listen. I think one of the areas God's been showing me in prayer lately is just the idea of listening to God, and I'll talk about that. Okay, that's really good. As I talk about prayer tonight, I decided, you know, I was thinking about what you all actually have to the time you have to give to prayer. And what I decided, one thing that is true, is that prayer, as in so many other areas, I think it's more important to have initially some consistency in prayer, okay? And then later on you can expand. Consistency in a shorter amount of time. And then later on you can expand your time and give more time to God as you're motivated. I thought about different ways that I could talk to you tonight. I thought, you know, how could I really motivate you to prayer? One thing is just talking about tremendous prayer illustrations, which many of you have read books and things like that of great prayer warriors like Bounds and Mueller, and just different great men of prayer. Another way would just be to talk about the importance of prayer. But I thought if somehow you could be motivated and be given a plan that would really encourage you in prayer, that in itself would motivate you personally probably more than anything else. Prayer really is, it's a conversation with God. It's a time in which you come together with the sovereign creator of the universe, and not only that, but also your friend, the person who loves you more than anyone else. You know, you think about your father and your mother and they're caring for you. And just having a communication with them. As we think about that, you know, I think one thing that we need to see is prayer can be more than just a conversation, but actually a worship experience. Okay? A worship experience with God. And as you expand your prayer life, I think more and more it becomes a worship experience. Prayer can be, you know, a real key part of your quiet time that you have during the day. And perhaps simple, in a simple sort of fashion, that ought to be the way it starts. And then you can expand it from there. You know, the idea of prayer, the idea of a time alone with God is very important. For one thing, your ministry will never be greater. You'll never have a greater ministry than your personal time with God. Never. You'll always be, your personal ministry, your in the lives of others, is an overflow of that personal walk with God. Today, you know, you know as well as I that Christianity is another religion in for so many people that there's not that personal touch to it. But there probably ought to be no greater motivating factor in your life to really walk with God and minister to people than your prayer life, than that daily time with God. The question is, you know, really, what are you giving your life to and what are your values? I saw last night on TV, on the news, they were interviewing James Caan, and I kind of noted that. I wasn't listening that much, but he had said he had just divorced his wife, who had been married to 20 years. And you know how interviewers, they try to probe and, you know, see what they can get out of that. And they said, oh, you know, the interviewer said, well, that must be... You know who James Caan is? He's a guy that was the motorcycle guy on Marcus Welby. And now he's on another show. Do you all know what other show is he on now? There's another one. It's not James Caan. Who's the guy who is... James Brolin. That's who I'm talking about. James Brolin. Yeah. Okay, James Brolin, I think, is who this guy was last night. I'm not that good on names of movie stars and things like that. It was James Brolin. That's who it was. Anyway... He said, well, that must be really hard that you're, you know, that after divorcing your wife. He goes, well, no, it's not too bad. Things are going along really good. He said, well, how do you fill your time? What do you do? You know, what are you giving your life to? And he said, well, he said, that's an interesting question. He said, what I found best is going from one thing to another. He said, for instance, a couple weeks ago, I started getting into photography, and I went out and I bought a lot of photography equipment. And I bought a dark room, a full dark room set. And I learned all about that, and I'd go and I'd take pictures, and then just recently I went and put it all up, because I don't want to get tired of it. And he goes, so I'm just kind of a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. He said, like one thing I got into was skiing, and I really enjoyed that, and I went skiing for a long period of time. And that really is good. You know, I found if you just take things one at a time like that, that you can really make it. And I thought to myself, from a biblical standpoint, I was thinking, James, baby, that's not right at all. That's, you know, you are not. I know that if I had an intimate conversation with you and I could see your heart, that you would not, that you're not really satisfied at all. That there is a hole inside of you that only God can fill. It's a God-shaped hole, and unless you have and develop a personal walk with God and learn what it is to have that personal, intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, then you are never going to be a happy man. And it doesn't matter how much you have. And that's really true. And you all have to see that from a biblical standpoint. Because it's so easy to look at the world and look at people and say, you know, they don't really need God. They're really doing okay without Him. But it just isn't true. It's a lie from the pit of hell. A person's prayer life, a person that worshipful time of day, when they meet God one-on-one, ought to be the growth point of your life. Let's look at Psalm 100. This is a tremendous passage just on prayer and on praising God. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. I thought we'd use that kind of as a takeoff point tonight. Let's look at some of the words in this. Starts out, shout joyfully to the Lord, all you earth. The first part in a system of prayer, perhaps the place to start is with praise. Praise comes from an old French word that really means prize. So praise, I forget the exact word it comes from, but it means prize. And it's the idea of that which you highly value and highly esteem. That's what praise is. Adoration is another word that's similar to praise. And I was checking out the meaning of adoration. And adoration comes from an old saying, a little quote, that basically means to kiss the hand of another. And in adoration, it's kind of like, you know, or praise, it's kind of like, you know, you adore someone, kissing the hand of God and really praising and glorifying Him. I'm going to put praise up here as the first part. Okay, we got a problem here. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah, let's see if I can get it straight. Okay. Praise. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, in verse 1. Joyfully. Joyful is just expressing great pleasure or delight about something. Great pleasure or delight. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Singing is kind of the singing here is like a bubbly reaction to that joy which fills the heart. Then verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. I think the key of praise here in this passage, if we're looking for praise, real praise comes in verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. And in praise, what you do is you praise God for who He is. You prize God for who He is. So we put praise and we put praise for who He, meaning God, is. We praise God for who He is. I thought it was good in a Bible study time this Sunday. The fellow leading the Bible study talked about the word extol and magnify. And that was good. I didn't know what that meant. But extol means to say over and over again. And it's like singing the praises of God, just repeating over and over again the truth. That the Lord Himself is God. The Lord is God. The implications of that. What are some of the characteristics of God you can praise Him for? His holiness, okay. Okay, His mercy, justice, faithfulness, forgiveness. Okay, what love? Love for sure. That's right. Then to magnify the Lord. You've heard the expression to magnify the Lord. Magnify is to intensify, to cause to be held up high in great esteem. You know, when you magnify something, you bring it into focus and make it bigger. And it's like taking God and who He is and magnifying and glorifying Him and saying what is true about Him. Know that the Lord Himself is God, that He is the creator of the universe. I think, you know, one of the greatest characteristics about God that I praise Him for is just maybe His creative power. And I praise Him that He's a creating God. I recall an experience a few years ago. I went out to the Grand Canyon and I was able to find a little path that went out away from the rim of the canyon. And I went, it was about 100 yards away from the rim, and it was out there on an edge, and I was way back far away from where all the people were, and I was just by myself. And I loved it. I saw a little tiny blue line down in the valley, down in the canyon there, and I knew that was the Great Colorado River, and that I'd looked through a telescope and saw that there were great big rafts with 10, 12 people in it. But it just looked like a little blue line from where I could see it. And to know how many miles it was across that canyon and to see that awesome beauty It was the most worshipful experience of my life. And I remember shouting at the top of, you know, just shouting praises to God at the top of my lungs. I kind of made sure no one could hear me because I was, but I didn't think, you know, I didn't think they could hear me way down in those boats or anything, and I didn't know who else was around. But I was just praising God, you know, for His awesome creation. You've heard the expression to bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, I will bless the Lord. I always thought that was kind of a funny word, to bless the Lord. How do we bless the Lord? You know, He blesses us, but how can we bless Him? So I looked at the word bless and looked at what that means. To bless means to glorify. It means to praise. And the word bless actually comes from an old English word means blood. And it's the idea, it really is a Christian word, the word bless. And it's to declare to be holy. The idea of sprinkling with blood, the blood of Jesus makes people holy. And to bless the Lord is to declare His holiness, to just give praise to Him because of that. Another word in this passage that I thought was interesting was loving kindness down in verse 5. It says, "For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, His faithfulness to all generations." The word loving kindness means it's kindness or affectionate behavior that's demonstrated as a result of love. So the Lord, loving kindness is an action, okay? The Lord expresses loving kindness to us. His loving kindness is everlasting. That is, His kind deeds as a result of His tremendous love that He has for us. Is this a great passage on praise? It's so good. The next part of prayer is thanksgiving. We'll write down thanksgiving. And we think thanksgiving comes as a result of, we'll say, for what God has done. In my prayer life, I include nature in praise. You know, as I look at nature and see that what God has done already in history, I give Him praise for that in His creation. And thanksgiving, so I put that on the praise part. And the thanksgiving part, I try to focus in a lot, especially on what God has done for me. And the idea of thanksgiving is to recognize that God is our provider and that He really does meet our needs. You know, today I took my daughter Bethany to the doctor. Her feet are kind of turned in, and I was thinking, well, God, you know, that's kind of bad that her feet are turned in and she's not a normal little girl, you know. And I got to the doctor's office. I was just kind of thinking that to myself. I probably would have never said it, but, you know, I was thinking a little bit of the cost of having this brace and these special shoes she's going to have and things like that. And as I talked to the doctor, he talked about just some of the babies as early as 3 weeks old that have to have braces and things like that put on. And it just, thinking about how healthy she really is and how she's never had any other problem, just how I presume on God's grace and am not thankful so often grieves my heart. But whenever you find yourself being ungrateful, when you find yourself struggling with just saying, you know, why am I in the situation I am, it is really good to focus on thanksgiving and not take the grace of God for granted. A third part of prayer is confession. There are two parts to confession. We confess our shortcomings and His sufficiency. That is really key. It is very important that we realize how desperately we are in lacking sufficiency in entering the kingdom of God and just in living our lives. In at Trinity Baptist Church in the Bible study time there, I lead a time and we've been going through the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And it seems like all of the first sermon of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount just really focus at the part that man is nothing apart from God, and just how far short we come daily in our time with God. After we really look at our insufficiency and our need for God and our need to confess the sin, large and small, the next part is intercession. This isn't working that great. I think I'm just going to punt that. I think I'm not writing that much on it right now. I think probably you guys can keep up. So let's just forget that for now, and I'll just press on here. Intercession is the idea of really going before God and lifting up the needs of others. A couple things that really value, that come from intercession that are of great value, is... It really helps us to gain God's heart. That's the greatest value of intercession, is to gain God's heart for people. Whenever I find myself really losing heart for people, if I focus on intercession in my prayer life, I get that heart back. Because I see where people really are apart from God. Another thing is just that it seems like as I focus on intercession, I sense a desire for my involvement in the lives of others in a way that I don't normally feel. When I intercede on behalf of others, I realize their need and their desperate situation, and God often shows me how I can be a part of meeting that need. A final part of a general prayer format would be petition. And petition is praying for ourselves. One of the great values of petition, of praying for ourselves, is it helps us to recognize God's provision when it comes. So often we take God's provision for granted. But as we pray specifically and God does provide, then we can be grateful for it. Another thing petition does is that it helps us to comprehend that our future is dependent on God's grace. It really is dependent on His grace. We cannot make it apart from God's provision. Interestingly enough, the different parts of prayer really feed on each other. As you praise God, look at your paper as you look down the chart there. Look, you've got praise, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, and petition. As you praise God, it really causes you to sense confession. Okay? The reason is because you realize when you focus on God and who He is, it helps you to realize how far short you come. You know, it's like Isaiah when he stood, when he met God face to face, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He just saw his uncleanliness in the sight of God as he really saw God and focused on His character and who he was. So you could almost draw like an arrow from praise to confession, because there's a natural pattern there. Another thing is, as you intercede for others and as you go to God and petition, both those things, the natural result of that is thanksgiving. Because you thank God as He answers prayer, as He answers the prayer that you pray for others, and then as He answers your prayers. And at this point, let me mention that one really valuable thing in petition is to make a list, okay? To write down your needs. Write down your needs to God. Have a chart where you write down your needs. And there's all kinds of charts people use. Perhaps one of the most simple charts is to have on one half of your page your prayer, and on the other half of the page, God's answer to your prayer. Now, making a list requires some things. One thing, it requires you to make a decision. That is, to make a decision to write things down. Okay? To keep a record. And when you make the record and you pray over those things, you can, it's clear when God's answer comes. If you have a list, it's easy for you to focus on thanksgiving and see God when he does answer prayer. Confession almost results in all the others. As you confess your sin, it's really easy for you then to praise God as a result of seeing that God is a God who is merciful, and that He is a God who has a blameless character and has the power to give, that He is a merciful, forgiving God. And so from confession comes praise naturally. And also from confession comes thanksgiving, in the idea that you really thank God as a result of forgiving the sin that you just confessed. Also from confession comes intercession. There can be a line from confession to intercession. And as you confess your sin, it's like you turn up the lights in the house, and as you get those barriers between you and God, you can see more truth and more how God wants you to be involved in the lives of others. And you know better how to pray for people. And also, as you confess your sin, it leads naturally to petition. Because you just pray for yourself, and that God would give you strength to press on for Him in your life. Now, as you really look for, if you really want wisdom in your life, I think a good area to focus on is praise. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 9, verse 10. Now let me see if you follow this. Look at this verse. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." As you praise God, you worship Him, and you recognize the truth about God. And because of that, because you come to an understanding of the truth about God, you better understand who He is. And if you understand who He is and His great power and just His awesomeness, then you will naturally fear Him, okay? And to fear God here means to reverence Him, to revere Him. The reason you revere Him then is because you understand who He is. You've come more into seeing clearly His character, His attributes. I recall an experience when I was one summer when I was getting a graduate degree in a conservation course. I wouldn't get a degree, I was taking the course, though, a graduate course in conservation. One of the great educational things we did during this course was we went and picked up trash beside a creek. And that's good for a grad student to do, and learned a lot. One of the things that happened during that is a friend of mine, I was close by, picked up a board, and there was a water moccasin curled up underneath this board. And he was sitting there, you know, all curled up. It looked like he was in a striking position. And, you know, I looked at that water moccasin, and I thought that water moccasin that thought he was tough. You know, he looked like he thought he was tough. So I reached down there and flipped him on the nose. Well, guess what he did? Well, actually, I didn't do that. What I did, I was smarter than that. And instead, we tried to capture him. We took a very long stick and tried to get this water moccasin. And he got away. Anyway, later on, we found his sister and put her in a jar. And about 5 feet long snake. It was a very big snake. It was a big jar. Put it in. And I recall kind of putting my hand up next to the jar, and the snake would strike at my jar. But one thing I did is, because I understood, I'm a college graduate at the time. I was really intelligent, and I knew that you don't stick your hand down in front of snakes, you know, when they're coiled up like that. So because of that, I feared him. That is, I had a healthy respect for the snake, and I could do battle with the snake as I had a big stick, okay? So the idea of the verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom is knowing truth. And truth is knowing that which God's Word says is true, and that which is indeed true in the universe. The fear of the Lord is obedience. And we're obedient. When we are obedient, we become wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes we're obedient even though we don't understand why things are a certain way. It's not necessary all the time that we understand before we're obedient. We act in obedience to God. And as we act on truth, and we become wise. And then knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge of the Holy One, we come to understand as we obey the truth. So praise, as we praise God and understand who He is, it naturally leads to obedience, and it naturally leads to a better understanding about God. Let's go back to Psalm 100. Just a minute. Verse 3, know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. You know, as I think about that verse, sometimes I think about just the issue of life and how God creates life. And sometimes I think about like the abortion issue. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And because of that, man is very sacred in His sight. But also because God made us, we are His. We belong to Him. And we are only complete when we are in fellowship with Him. And it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Helps me to see that it's very important that I confess my sin. So in this part, I see just confession there. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Because of that, I need to always be in right standing with God. See, the last part of that verse, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Then it goes on and talks about enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. At this time, I want to give you all a handout. Would a few of you guys come out here and you know, pass them out to several people, and we'll give these out. I wonder what that means. While they're handing out this handout, let me share with you something that really touched my heart and really challenged me in the area of prayer. One of the things is, I'll talk about this handout in just a minute, but one of the things that God is going to call many of you to do, many of you are going to have a heart to really grow strong in your prayer life. And you will become a real person of prayer in a powerful way as you go on. And I wanted to challenge you with a group of people that are real prayer warriors. And I hope this is just that. Many of you have heard of a church in Seoul, Korea. The pastor's name of the largest church in the world is Cho. It's the Full Gospel Central Church. And it has, I don't know how many members this church has. It says, oh, here it is. From the humble beginning, the church continues to grow with 330,000 active members and is growing at an accelerated pace. Can you imagine a church with 330,000 members? They really have this. And the church is based, everybody who's involved in the church, they're in small groups, small fellowships. So it tries to keep the fellowship going. They have huge worship services. But let me just mention one thing about this church, and that is its aspect of prayer. It says this is an evaluation of a fellow who went to the church. It says another outstanding aspect of the church is its prayer ministry. Never I've seen such an intensive and fervent prayer as I did at this church. It has its own prayer mountain where it has from 5,000 to 10,000 of its members fasting and praying there each day. There's always a prayer meeting going on. And I just want to read a quote to you from this. The first principle that this fellow learned at this institute he went to is a church must engage in intensive, comprehensive praying. First thing that became clear to me was that the Koreans definitely believed in the power of God through the power of prayer. Pastor Cho schedules his first meeting with us at Prayer Mountain, in which he talked to us about the importance of prayer. And he started telling him about his own prayer life. He begins each day by spending approximately an hour and a half in prayer in the morning. Then right after lunch, he finishes lunch and goes back and spends another hour in prayer. Then in the evening, before he goes to bed, he spends a minimum of an hour in prayer. So the pastor kind of is a pace setter in spending 3 to 3.5 hours of prayer each day as a minimum. Without this kind of praying, Cho says, he would simply be a complete failure. It was evident that Cho's church is simply modeling what they get from their pastor when it comes to prayer. People experience God as they listen to Cho speak because Cho spends much time in the presence of God. He believes that a pastor should come out of his should have his experience in the pulpit just dripping all over with God's blessing as he comes out of his prayer closet. But let me tell you about how the church follows him in prayer. So they have this prayer mountain, right? With every day at this prayer mountain, there's from 5,000 to 10,000 people who are engaged in active prayer. Talks about time they spend, large number of people that have they pray and fast for a minimum of 3 days each year. Many of them come spend their family vacations praying and fasting to the Lord. Scattered across Prayer Mountain, there are hundreds of prayer grottos. They are like little concrete caves, and in each of these concrete caves, they retreat themselves individually with a plastic water jug, a candle, a Bible, a hymn book, and a blanket. They curl up by themselves and have a dramatic encounter with the Jehovah God. Can you imagine what would happen if the churches in North America could catch a vision like this in serious belief in the power of prayer? I was visiting Prayer Mountain. This is his experience, Dave Loveless, the fellow who went here. I was visiting Prayer Mountain, and I heard a noise coming from one of the buildings. And I ran over to see what it was. I walked inside, and there before me was from 3,000 to 5,000 Koreans sitting on the floor, praying, singing before the Heavenly Father. I inquired and asked questions and found out that all these people had come from the city that day and were there for praying and fasting. Most of them had been out in their individual prayer grottos, and whenever they need fellowship, they'd come together and join this group in a particular auditorium for corporate worship and prayer. This service in this auditorium lasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't say how many weeks a year, but it's possible that it lasts the whole time. God is going to call many of you to become prayer warriors. And I think prayer, that personal devotion time with God, ought to increase in a person's life as they grow strong. Now, right now, some of you have, you have a time with God in the morning from 10 to 15 minutes long. Some of you are privileged and get a longer time than that. But what I did is I tried to set up this little bookmark here for you to show you a simple daily prayer. Try to make it simple. The two main points are you are God. This is like you're talking to God here, okay? I'm not saying you are God, but you're talking to God here. And the two parts, the first part is you are God, and you're confessing that the Lord, He is God, okay? And the second part is I am yours. And that's probably the most simple prayer that you can pray, but it's a prayer you should pray every day. The implication of you are God is, as it says there, I worship you and I need you. Okay? You are God, so I worship you. That is, I come to you in praise and I come to you in thanksgiving. Do you all know, does anyone have Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 memorized? Does anyone know that? Share that with the group. I don't have it memorized. I was just wondering if any of you did. Let's look it up. Hebrews 13, 15 through 17. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips to give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good, and sharing with such sacrifices God is pleased. I worship you. The second thing is I need you. And what you need from God is His sufficiency. His sufficiency and your forgiveness. That your sufficiency should be His sufficiency. Okay? That yours should be His. You need your forgiveness and His sufficiency. That ought to be your prayer every day. Okay? You need to say, you know, God, I am nothing without you. I cannot make it. Confess your sin to Him and ask for His grace. You know, 2 Corinthians 12 says, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. We trade in our sin for His mercy. We trade in our sin for His grace. The second part is I am yours. Use my prayers, God, in intercession, in praying for others, and use me. And that is just a commitment to God as you go through your day to really commit your day to God and be used of Him. I'd like you at this time to take about 2 minutes, and I'd like you just to pray to God and take time to just listen to God. So we'll take just about 2 minutes here. I thank you for the time, God, and I pray you would really make us people after your own heart. God, that as we pray, that our prayer time would be a worshipful time, and that we would realize that you are God. And because that, we would praise you, that we would begin by praising you, by focusing on you, God, not on ourselves. And we would thank you, God, for your abundant provision in our life, which we take so for granted. And God, just that you would reveal our sin to us, that we might just confess our unworthiness to be called your sons, and that God, in doing so, we would receive grace and mercy, and it would result in just a cleansing and a purging of ourselves. And then God, that we would, as we begin our day, just say, I am yours, and intercede for others, and commit our day to you, and God, just give our lives in service to you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.